Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alice at 97.3.
Hey, it's Sarah and Vinny. Thanks for listening to our podcast.
Remember, you can see us live every day and watch video replays at radioalice.com/watch.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful girls.
Beautiful girls.
Zap
I was
day.
Just punching in. I was like, oh, what's he up to, David Lee Roth? And there's a couple of stories that, let's see, I'll just read you the headline.
Okay.
Van Halen's David Lee Roth reveals unbelievably terrifying childhood moment.
Oh.
Another one. Big hopes for release of lost David Lee Roth album.
Oh.
Howard Stern reveals crazy Van Halen bedroom story.
Oh, boy.
I released a day ago. That's weird.
That is crazy.
Hmm. I love
that first that first solo record he did. Skyscraper?
I don't know.
No.
Is that the Just a Gigolo
Eat Him
part?
And Smile, Eat I think, smile. Was his first one.
Is that Gigolo, though?
I liked everything he did solo-wise. I thought that they had great energy and, you know, they were dorky, some of the songs on there, but... Man, he got some class A musicians behind him. And
yeah.
It was good. We were listening to one of the records the other day.
Vi was the guitar player, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think Billy Sheehan was on bass, and the drummer was someone big, too. Greg Bissonette or something.
I don't know. Can't say I know. I know I read a lot.
It was basically a super group, though.
Well, right. I read a lot about the Van Halen guys. Mm-hmm. It's a trip that they never got this tour together. I mean, the rumor is that Eddie's very sick, but there's rumors all directions.
Sure.
Yeah.
They were supposed to get the original band back together and do shows this summer. That's David Lee Roth was the guy spreading the rumors.
Hmm.
We're getting the, you know, I mean, he put
the
it out
band
there.
Band back together, man.
Well, he put it out there.
Sammy was like, yeah, but Michael Anthony's my bass player now.
Well, and then, and Sammy was involved in those news stories. And Sammy ultimately was like, If he can go do that, I want him to.
Yeah.
I won't hold him back. Right. But he
Sammy seems like the better person in the whole equation.
Yeah.
He does, but he seems burned by it, and it clearly hurts him. Mm-hmm. Like, he will... I read all this stuff. He will be the guy in the news going, yeah, but Van Halen had more success with me as a singer than they ever had with Dave. We had number one albums. We had number one song. You know, like he's like scoreboard dudes. Look at the scoreboard.
Right.
And he's not wrong, except that he's talking into the wind. Like people who love David Lee Roth, just, it doesn't matter what the scoreboard says. They love those old songs.
Yeah. And part of David.
Mm-hmm. I don't even care. But like for me, it's that song you just played brings me back to Del Mar, California. On a summer day, with our stereo at full blast.
Our boombox.
Beer. Well,
right.
But beer is everywhere. Yeah. We're all
smoking weed. Yeah.
And that's what we were doing when that song plays. I remember that. And that's what people, he's fighting that. He can't win that.
Right. And frankly, I don't like it when people throw out, you know, we were the most successful at this time or that time. Because I'll point to AC/DC, way more successful with Brian Johnson, who can't sing. And there's been
To Vinny's point, because that's when we were doing this, that, and the other,
right? And Aerosmith, for God's sake, those horrible records they put out from the 90s on, absolutely horrible. Like they had just decided we're gonna be a pop band and make pop albums. They had way more success in the 90s. I would never even consider putting on anything from, you know, give me Toys in the Attic every time. You know, the things that, so, okay, you jumped onto a successful band's coattails, and yes, you guys wrote some hit songs, but the thing was built by this other thing.
We built this
band on David Lee Roth.
You know what?
What?
I had several texts. I'm going to tell this guy I'm going to call you. I had several texts from friends that went to the show last night with Greg. So I'm going to call this guy.
Okay.
His name is Sean.
All right.
He's actually a friend of Greg's and a friend of mine and helped get John into Mercedes-Benz.
Oh.
But he said Greg killed it last night.
So Greg Baldwin.
Like, it was. So I'm going to call him.
Was on our show yesterday. Greg is a former salesperson here at the Alice for years. And it's funny because he mentioned that he used to stop by all the time down here and because sales is in another location in the building. And it's, as I thought back on it, I'm like, of all the salespeople, I know Greg because he came here all the time.
I don't even remember that at all.
Oh, really?
No. Here's what he wrote, though, on, he posted pictures that he took of us after his appearance here. And I wrote, you know, hey, great job. So funny or something. And he wrote back, Vinny, you're the greatest and absolutely hilarious. I learned a lot from you and Sarah today. You guys tell your truth. I couldn't believe it on The Secret Show. I ended telling it all at my show at the Improv. Can't thank you enough. So he must have taken...
Oh, The Secret Show stuff that we talked about. You know, it is funny how people... Because you guys know us as the people who are on the air from 6 to 10 or whatever. If you listen to The Secret Show, like that's... Yeah, it's filthy, but it's also super... I think it's really real.
Liberating, yeah.
It is.
Well, you know what? I would argue that we used to do that on this airwaves, on these airwaves.
But, minus the
but
swears.
But times have changed so much that we have to do it elsewhere.
Right.
But I don't think that we've ever been ones to put up like real fronts.
No,
never.
Definitely not. Mm-hmm. But the fact that there are no boundaries as to what we can talk about and how graphic we can get about it
right.
on The Secret Show, it is liberating. It is a place where there are no prudes welcome. 18 and up only, please.
But if you want to hear The Secret Show with Greg, it's a good one because there are moments where, I mean, he outright lies. I don't think he thinks he's lying, but he outright says a story. We push him on it, and he finally goes, all right, well. And it's like.
We're like, no.
I think that.
Try again.
Everyone feels
Take
that,
two.
That pressure to.
Keep a good front.
Well, they want to give the answer that they wish they could say. You know, I mean, I think that you go,
sure.
I wish I had held the line right. better. I wish I
How
could
many times,
tell you.
Even on this regular show, have I been like, oh, God, I wish I could have just
taken that back.
I wish I didn't tell the truth about that. Why did I answer that? Why didn't I just plead the fifth?
It's our truth, and it's so hard to remember a lie.
I know.
So Sean is on the phone. Let's hear what he has to say about Greg's show last night at the San Jose Improv.
Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, people. How are you?
Oh, you sound a little ragged.
I know. Yeah, I go, thanks. Hey, buddy, wake up.
Good time with that show last night, huh?
I told Greg, stop it with the weeknight shows.
Weeknight, yeah. Well, you know, you got to work here. You got to pay your dues. You got to do the weeknight show. So you saw Greg at the San Jose Improv last night, and how did he do?
You know what? Was it a year ago that he was here last time?
Something like that.
A little more. Actually, I think it was 2 years because I asked him.
Oh, dang.
The reason I knew about his Thailand trip is because he was posting on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I said to him, have we seen you since your Thailand trip? And he said, no. That Thailand trip was like a year ago.
God, time is just flying.
His appearance here was 2 years ago.
It feels like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I got to say the difference between last time we saw him and this time was he was the man. He was the headliner. Jimmy was before him, preceded him, and you can tell that he deserved that slot. He killed it. Absolutely killed it.
So the guy's got an act.
He's the real deal. If he keeps improving at this rate, you know, who knows where he's going to be.
Good for him.
Yeah. And you know what, Vinny? The Thailand thing was a big part of his show last night. It was freaking hilarious.
That's great. You know, and I don't think he had time to work that out. I think he just realized, there's something I haven't been working on that I should be.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell he's really, really refined his craft. He was good. The house was full of just local family, friends. It was really good.
And he killed him, huh? That's excellent.
He killed it. He killed it. We're so proud of him. I mean, he's come so far. You know, and like Vinny said, it was 2 years ago. He was, yeah, it was good. It was good, but there's a substantial improvement from where he was 2 years ago. It was really good to see him.
Well, what do they say? You need 10,000 hours or something before you're an expert in it, you know?
You grow.
The more hours you spend on that stage, the better you have to, or you just get off the stage, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there were a couple of those. There were a couple of those last night.
Oh.
Yeah, there were a couple of...
Well, it was a Thursday night, you know?
Well, listen, to Greg's credit, and I got this out of him before he even came on our show yesterday out in the... What do you call that?
Lounge.
The lounge.
The lounge. He was saying that he has another job. Like, he's not a paid comedian. He has another job that he does daily to support his habit.
Is it Uber?
But his habit, this comedian thing, he does it 3-4 nights a week.
Right.
He'll go and he goes, I make, what did he say? I think he said he made, maybe I shouldn't say. He makes almost no money.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it covers his gas, depending on where he lives in L.A., to make the trip to the... But he does it because that's how you get good, is
by getting yourself
anyone
up
who
front
wants
of people.
To do something like that should hear that. That's what it takes.
Right.
Well, you can also tell the passion he has for what he does, which I think may make it a little easier for him. I mean,
well, he's always wanted to perform. Like, even when he was working here, he was going on auditions, wound up, you know, he had a drug problem, but that didn't really stop him from pursuing the dream. Like, he moved down to LA and, you know, was just trying to make that happen. It is funny how instead of being an actor, he turns out to be a comedian. But I'm super happy to hear that he's doing well, because anytime you hear about someone just making a major life change, and deciding I'm going to be a stand-up comedian. I always think about Paul Mercurio, who's a friend of ours.
He was a lawyer, right?
He was a full-on bar-certified lawyer, like in New York, and threw the whole thing away.
Like corporate, too,
To write jokes and to be a comedian. He now writes for Late Night with Stephen Colbert and is often on the show and, of course, is a touring comedian. But that's, I mean, his family had to be like, oh, my God, I'm sorry, you're going to do what?
You're going to fall off the cliff? What?
What now? So anytime someone takes that chance, that's huge.
One more thing. How do you do that with your parents in the audience?
I know.
Oh, the stuff he was saying?
I mean, the stuff he was saying, he was, okay, Mom and Dad, sorry, I really didn't do that. I'm like, oh, my God, how can you talk like that knowing your parents are
well, you know,
like
you
were
are...
you sitting with his parents or any close by, and what was the reaction?
Oh, it was laughter. I mean, I've known his mom and my mom were best friends in our neighborhood growing up, but they were sitting right. We were all kind of in the same area right there. It was all good, but it's funny. I don't know if I could talk like that. Some of the things he was saying and his parents were right there, but
well, it
they
takes
laughed.
Practice.
Exactly.
Because I did hear some of his most embarrassing moment. Vinny, remember after the show?
He told us what it
he
is.
He was telling, he was out there and I was in here in the studio and I was listening. I'm like, oh my God.
When he was telling
was like,
me?
Yeah, when he was telling you what his most embarrassing, what his bit was. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And I was like, okay, no, no, Greg. I heard it. You can go.
It's funny. I just talked to him briefly after the show. And so I was headed out there. He goes, oh, I wanted to tell you what my moment was. I'm like, okay.
What did he tell you? What moment did he tell you?
It's about sword crossing at age 9.
Oh, yeah. That guy was there last night. You brought him on stage.
And, but he did this, he did this finger motion that was, it was the funniest GD thing. I go, keep the finger, go for the finger motion a little more. Like, really look at the finger motion.
Oh, my God.
Like, that, the finger motion's funny, dude. Keep that going.
It's funny.
Embarrassing. Yeah. Embarrassing a couple years later.
Yeah.
You know, you don't realize when you're 9 what you're up to.
If you haven't heard about him, Greg Baldwin.
Yeah, Greg Baldwin, comedian. Yeah, he was at the San Jose Improv last night. He's been on the show a couple times and used to sell airtime.
Snort coke in the bathroom.
Yeah, apparently. Guy's got a bit of a history. Thanks for checking in, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, you guys have a great day.
Okay,
have a good weekend.
Oh, Greg, he's
nice
so
of him
special.
To get up so early.
It's F day. He gets to have
it's
a good
F-day.
Weekend now.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
We get to say that today. Have a good weekend.
Yep.
I start saying it on Thursday now.
You used to not really care.
I'm worn out. These kids are killing me. So I'm like all about. Like I'll be at the butcher or some like Whole Foods, they and I always chat those guys up and they get your stuff and at the end, have a good weekend on a Thursday, sometimes Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you're just about there. Oh, on a Wednesday, I don't know, that's pushing it, man.
I know, you know what? I may not be back on Friday to wish it to you, and I want you to know you should have a good weekend. You deserve it.
You do.
Here you are working.
Oh, I feel so good. I just, Fridays, like, you know, I'm just as pissed off as ever when my alarm goes off. But then I realize it's Friday. And I'm just like the smile starts on the inside.
Like, are the boys back?
Yeah, they got back yesterday. They had a great time. John was, and of course they meet a couple from Germany. And, of all the countries that
they
you
bring
would,
them home?
No, but they, my son speaks German.
Yeah,
so
they got
it
to
was
use it.
Really funny because my kid comes out of the hotel room. They were at some kind of like a drive-in type of place where you pull in front and then you just walk into the door.
That's called a motel.
Okay, thank you. A motel. Whatever it's called.
God, Sarah, you're so in touch.
Not the kind where you have to walk in.
You make so much money that you don't even know what a freaking motel is.
Well, I don't know what it was called.
Jesus Christ.
It's one of those places where you pull in front.
Yeah, okay.
And so my kid comes walking out to help pull the stuff in. Yeah. And John introduces him. Mm-hmm. And and they immediately start having this whole conversation in German. And they were the only people staying at this motel. Uh-huh. And they kept running into them. Like, apparently they were, tourists from Germany, and they were in Lassen on most of Wednesday, which I guess is north of Chico but south of Reading.
Oh, I think I've heard of it, actually.
And John was like, it is an absolute hidden jewel. It's absolutely amazing. Like, amazing. Hmm. All the pictures, I'm like, oh my God, it looks like paradise there.
Wow.
I know, it was beautiful. But
people
they kept
who go to Chico
people.
Will tell
Chico.
You they love the place. That there's tons of places to go water rafting. And I mean, there's a point usually, at least in my opinion, where you're like, I get it.
Right.
You can stop telling me about Chico anytime now.
Yeah.
They love it that much where you just thought, okay, you had the time of your life. I got it.
John was saying Chico is
Chico.
That it's there are nice areas, but there are some really rough areas too.
Oh,
he said, man, there are streets full of mansions. Like they drove around in it a little.
Really,
there's some really really nice areas, and there's some really not nice areas.
Any decent-sized city. Yeah.
Right. I don't know how many people live in Chico, but it's got to be pretty big. It has the university right there.
A lot of people
right there,
from, I want to say, Vinny Paradise.
Oh,
I don't really know the areas very well.
No,
so I might
Paradise
be wrong.
Is right next
people
to it.
People from Paradise move to Chico for obvious reasons.
Right.
Even temporarily. Mm. God, I wonder what's happening up there.
Well, they're slowly rebuilding. And
right.
People are trying to get insurance in order.
Yeah. I was listening to something on KCBS. There was just some deadline that passed. But they say a lot of people don't know about these deadlines because they're freaking living in tents and parking lots,
No internet.
Right.
No television news or whatever.
So in order to find out that, they've got to file X paperwork by X date.
And they're not getting their mail, perhaps.
Right. No, I'm sure they're, how could they be? I know. It's freaking heartbreaking.
I actually have an email, I'll give it to you, from someone that is rebuilding in the coffee area. And, was just talking about you guys how, let's see.
You turkey.
Email.
Who, Bryn?
Yeah. Bryn and his little sound effects.
Why not? I mean,
no you should. I enjoyed hilarious. It. I we're talking about people rebuilding their houses burned down by fire. And there I am giggling.
And then that happens. I don't have it exactly in front of me, but I'll find it. But in any case, a person that's rebuilding their home in the coffee area and just listens to the show, and this is what keeps her going.
Oh, thanks for listening. It's an honor to be here. If we can bring any solace, that is what our intention is, just to be a place you can come and not have to hear about the woes of the world and hear about the woes of stupid criminals. There's enough. I read it every morning and just go, God, I'm glad I'm not going to be talking about that today. And speaking of that, let's get this thing rolling. It's Friday. KLLC, KLLC, HD1, San Francisco. Sarah and Vinny, Alice Morning Show. We'll be right back.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.